Okay, Katie, you want to come up and read the scripture? Oh, sorry.
And then I just want to mention real quick that I had a family earlier this week tell me that the only reason they knew about our school is because of the Easter egg hunt. So please don't think that what we do doesn't matter. Okay, because it's usually hard to find people for the Easter egg hunt. So just put, keep that in your little head. All right, our scripture reading today is Luke 13, 1 through 9. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died in the tower in Siloam fell on them." Right, Siloam? Okay. "Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his backyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should I use up all the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down."
The word of God for the people of God. Wait just a minute. Hey, Rick. Can you zoom in on Katie's shoes? I want those of you that aren't here today, I want you to be able to see them. They're the coolest shoes. I keep feeling like I'm shrinking because Katie keeps coming in with these platform shoes on. And so those of you that are my age probably remember that we used to wear platform shoes too. But they didn't look like that. Thanks, Katie. They're just cute. Can tell. Shoes. Yep. Shoes, shoes, shoes. Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, as we gather here this morning, may the words of our mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, no matter where we are gathering to worship, be suitable and acceptable to you, our Lord. Amen. All right, I have a question for you. What do Noah, Moses, Rahab, David, Solomon, Jonah, Peter, and Paul all have in common? Jesus, that's a good... You are correct. Now, some of you probably were thinking, well, they're all people in the Bible. Yes. And that's true, as well as they all have Jesus in common. Thank you. You guys are funny. But more importantly, what they have in common with you is that with one another, and they also have it with every other character in the Bible, that each of us have blown it at some point in time in our lives. We've made huge mistakes. We've screwed up. We've disappointed God. All of those people, when you think back at the ones that I've named, all made some bad decisions. And they all failed at life at one time or another. But what I want to tell you is that they also have in common is that God gave them a second chance. And that's the title of my sermon today. We love a God of second chances. And for some of these folks, God gave them more than a second chance. He gave them many chances to get things right in their life. He gave them mulligans. He gave them do-overs. And he gave them grace. Throughout the Bible, its pages shout out to anyone who will listen that God is all about second chances. He's forever looking for opportunities to bless and to forgive and to try to make something good out of the messes that we make of our lives. You know, we say, God is good
all the time.
All the time.
God is good.
God works for good
in everything.
You know, he's always looking for ways to take the in our lives and to make it be something that brings glory and honor and love into the world. And I think that's why the parable that Katie read this morning about the fig tree, it was a fig tree. Some versions of that story actually call it a fig tree. I think that's what that parable is trying to tell us, that Jesus is responding to those in the crowd who thought that God had punished people. That was the beginning of the scripture that she read. They thought that God had people killed because they'd done something wrong. And they were kind of trying to get Jesus to say that. Because in their minds, they thought that God was always out to get the sinners. Every chance he got, he would kill them if he could. And that if they committed something, game over, all done. We're finished. But in response, Jesus told them that parable. And I think that parable teaches us and taught the disciples and those that were listening four important principles. So we're going to talk about those. Number one, we are made and we are meant for good things. The Bible declares that human beings are God's masterpiece, God's crowning glory. That's who we are. Because we're created in God's image. We weren't made for the mundane and for mediocrity. We weren't made for insignificance or failure. God made you and I for the greatness because he loves us. He loves each and every one of us just the way we are. And I think somewhere deep down in our spirit, we all know that. Every one of us knows that whoever we are, at least you hear that enough for me, that whoever we are, wherever we are in our life's journey, and however we are, that we long to be more because we know that God has a bigger and better plan for us. We intuitively sense that we are made for more than who, how, and where we are currently, because God is always trying to move us along in our journey, always. You know, the tree in the parable is it's a beautiful fig tree, but a fig tree is made to bear fruit, to do something great, to bear blessings. But this poor little tree up until that point just wasn't able to cut it. It had really failed to do anything worthwhile. It hadn't been productive. It hadn't fulfilled its God-given potential. It hadn't fulfilled its purpose. It was just a bunch of leaves and branches, no fruit. Its life had been barren and empty. It was made for more than that. And if you notice, the tree doesn't belong to itself. It belongs to the one who created it, the one who gave it life. The same is true of us, you and I. 1 Corinthians says that you and I were bought with a price, the price that was paid by Jesus. And that's what the cross is all about. Jesus paying the price for our sin. So in the same way that the tree belongs to the one who planted it and gave it life, every believer belongs to Jesus, who gives life to everyone who turns to him. So, friends, what about your life? Did you know that you were made for good things? Do you believe that you were made for good things? To do good things? To do even great things? And did you know that God expects us to bear fruit? Now, you're probably saying, well, I'm not a tree. I don't know how to bear fruit. Well, there's other ways to bear fruit. What's the harvest look like in your life? What are you producing for the kingdom of God? If the gardener came walking through that door, and when I say the gardener, I mean Jesus, came walking through that door this morning and looked at our lives, would he find fruit? If he looked at our church, if he looked at Northwest United Methodist Church, would he find fruit? Are we being all that God has created us to be? And are we reflecting the image of God outside these doors? Those are the questions that we ought to be asking. Not how much our offering was last week. But what is it that we're doing in the world? That's number one. Number two, nobody's perfect. That's not an excuse, but it is the reality of things. None of us are perfect. The Bible says that everyone falls short of God's glory and plan for their lives. All of us, we all fall short. The Bible tells us that we all screw up, that we all make mistakes, that we all blow it from time to time. In other words, my friends, welcome sinners. Here we all are, every single one of us. There's not one of us in this room that's not fallen short of the glory of God. Now, that's easy enough for us to say, I see the sin in your life. I see your imperfections. I see your mistakes. I see your sin. But we know in our hearts that we are not perfect. But we don't want to admit that to anyone else most of the time. And when we do recognize that we aren't perfect, that we've blown it, that we're sinners, we convince ourselves that other people's sins are worse than my sins. And so, I must not be that bad. Or we think that no one is a bigger sinner than me. I can't tell you how many times I hear, but Pastor, you don't know my sins. They're worse than anybody else's sins. They're worse than your sins. They're worse than, nah, we all have sins. And guess what? A sin is a sin is a sin is a sin. There's no grading of sins. The folks in the crowd that day talking to Jesus were trying to figure out why those people died. What did they do to make God mad enough that he had them killed? They were thinking that those folks must have just been terrible people, that they were the biggest sinners around. And Jesus basically says, "What are you talking about? What happened to those poor people had nothing to do with the kind of people that they were. Bad things happen to all of us. Because you see, the truth is we've all blown it. We've all made choices in our lives that, man, if we could do a do-over, we would do it in a minute. And my friends, that's why we have no right to judge other people. Because you see, we're all in the same boat. Because we're all sinners. No one is perfect except Jesus. So he's the standard by which we judge. It makes no sense to compare ourselves with other people or judge others because we all fall short of perfection. And it makes no sense to think that someone else is a worse sinner than you are or that your sins are worse than anybody else's. Imperfect is imperfect. And the only one who's perfect is Jesus. And just in case, we're not Jesus. Sometimes when we make a mistake in life, it feels really final. When we blow it in a big way or screw up big time, we might think, well, that's it, I'm done. But I want you to know this morning that life isn't a game in which you only have one chance to win before it's all over with. That's not how this works. You need to know that when you make a mistake, God will give you a second chance if you repent. And that's kind of what this whole scripture is about here, being able to repent. You know, repent means, you know, you turn away from the sin. Doesn't mean you're not going to sin later. But at least we try to not sin again. Number three, God is all about second chances, and he loves to give us second chances. I'm going to share with you a story this morning about a man named John Young. This is not my story. This is another pastor's story that I'm going to share with you. John lived in Georgia, and he was a Christian. He was the fourth of six children. His mom took him to church every time the church doors were open. He was in Sunday school. He was in vacation Bible school. He was always there. All his friends were church friends. His mom believed that he was going to do great things for God one day. And his mom really expected, I think deep in her heart, thought, this John could be a pastor. He could share the word of God. He would do great things. But John spent the last 9 years of his life at Jackson State Prison on death row. And what John said was, just when you think that you've made such a mess of your life that there's no way to make things right, God shows up and gives you a second chance. You see, John was a Christian. He went to church. He went to Sunday school. He went to vacation Bible school. He was faithful as a little boy. He gave his heart to Jesus Christ when he was only 7 years old. But somewhere around middle school, things began to get in the way of his relationship with God. He started hanging out with different friends and started doing things that they were doing. He began to drift away from his church family. He began partying with the cool guys. And eventually, he even dropped out of high school. You see, John really was a good person. But he made bad choices. And those bad choices turned all of his dreams into nightmares. On a fateful night in the summer of 1975, intoxicated and high on drugs, John broke into a house that he thought was empty. He was purposely picking an empty house because he just wanted to steal a few things because he needed to buy more booze and more drugs. But the house really wasn't empty. There was an elderly couple that lived there. And they woke up from their sleep and they walked in on John and they startled him. And he shot and killed both of them. He didn't really mean for that to happen. He just wanted to steal a few things, a little petty larceny. At that moment, even in the fog of the drugs and the booze, he knew his life was over. John was arrested. He was tried. He was convicted. He was sentenced to death and sent to prison to go through the system of appeals. But you know what? God is still God, even in prison. No matter how far you may have strayed from God, no matter how big a mistake you've made or how many mistakes you've made, God is still God and his love never quits. We sang that this morning. And so it was there in prison that John discovered God's grace in a new and wonderful way. John wrote letters of apology to the family of the couple that he had murdered. He asked for their forgiveness. He apologized to his own family. And during his 9 years in prison, he managed to finish high school. He completed an associate's degree. He assisted in the prison chaplain in worship every week. He led Bible studies, and he even led a number of other inmates to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. John was electrocuted at 12:01 a.m. in the spring of 1985. But that little boy who fell in love with Jesus at the age of seven, who made so many mistakes and bad choices, who lived too many years producing nothing but misery and heartache, he was given a second chance because he was restored, he was forgiven, and when he took his last breath, he was at peace. And in the end, I think we can all say John did great things. By bringing blessings in a place where blessings are few and far between. Blessings to people who blessings are strange to. Because you see, John's life had eternal significance. And it had a profound meaning to those men in the prison who heard about this God of second chances, who heard about this God who forgives sins and tells you he loves you anyway. The thing that Noah, Moses, Rahab, David, Solomon, Peter, Paul, and John Young have in common is that they all discovered that anyone at any time is only one prayer away from changing the trajectory of their life. One prayer away. Because you see, God is quick to forgive and eager to give us a second chance. Man, I can tell you, I've done some crap in my life that, boy, if I could reel it back in, words that I've said, things that I've done, I would do that. And then I remember that I asked for forgiveness for those things. And I was given a second chance. Because trust me, had I not, I wouldn't be standing up here being a pastor. I'd be out there continuing to do the naughty things that I used to do. God is eager to give us a second chance. All we have to do is ask. So maybe today you're sitting there and you're thinking, yeah, you know, that's all a great story. You know, all those people in the Bible, they were different because they were really great people. I'm not a great person. I'm just me. And I've done stuff. I wish Michael was here today. Michael's a great example of second chances. Michael thought he blew his life. And now we call him Chef Michael. Michael thought that it was all over for him. And he's starting this great life with David and the prospects of a restaurant. And if you ask Michael, how did this happen, you know what Mike's going to tell you? He's going to tell you because of Jesus Christ and my belief and my faith. And that I know I'm forgiven. My friends, you can be next. Maybe you've blown it. Maybe you made some big mistakes in your life. Maybe you think your life's not worth living. I'm here to tell you today that God loves you. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, God loves you. And God will give you a second chance. So we're going to take a minute, and I'm going to ask you all, whether you think you need to or not, to say this prayer with me. You don't have to say it out loud, just say it in your heart. Dear God, I'm sorry for my mistakes. God, you know that as well as I do, that I've blown it in so many different ways. But here I am, Lord. I want to try again. Because you see, I want my life to have meaning. I want my life to have significance. I want to do what you want me to do. Lord, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the forgiveness. I ask, Lord, that you forgive me and give me another chance. I can't promise that I won't make another mistake, but I can promise that I will love you. In your name we pray. Amen.